Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us, who know you now by faith, to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. Afterwards, David also rose up and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and did obeisance. David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of those who say, 'David seeks to do you harm'? This very day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you into my hand in the cave. And some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not raise my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, see the corner of your cloak in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your cloak and did not kill you, you may know for certain that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you are hunting me to take my life. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the ancient proverb says, 'Out of the wicked comes forth wickedness.' But my hand shall not be against you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A single flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you. May he see to it and plead my cause and vindicate me against you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2014. Can you believe it? Seems like Y2K was yesterday. And here we are, and each time we begin a new year, we have this incredible opportunity to start over, to reflect on our own lives, to ask ourselves, am I the person that God is calling me to be? And if not, what are the changes that I could make in my life to make it so? Do you want to be wise in 2014? I've always wanted to be wise ever since I was a little girl. I love the idea of somehow possessing wisdom in life. Leading life with care, relishing life, coming to an understanding of how to live. Today is the eve of the Feast of the Epiphany, and so we're celebrating it, the arrival of the wise men to Jesus. So if we want to be wise in 2014, all we need to do is pay close attention to the wise men to see what they did. They show us what it means to be wise. They were so wise that they actually found their own way to Jesus. You know, the shepherds had the angels telling them where to go. That's different. The wise men were wise enough to find their own way. Out of the whole planet, they found Christ. Now that's wisdom. Don't you want to be that wise? So let's look at what they did, how they behaved, what it was that made them be called wise. But before we do that, I have to pause for a moment. And I love our three kings that came down the center aisle, but I'm afraid we've got to separate our tradition that we love from what's actually in the Bible. Sorry, kings. The wise men are only talked about in the Gospel of Matthew. And it says this, and this alone. Wise men came from the east. Did you hear anything about kings in that? No. I think we imagine that they might have been kings because they bring gifts that were fit for a king. They knew that they were finding a king, in fact, the king of all kings. And so they brought with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts appropriate to give a king. But if they were kings, I imagine they might have been busy running their kingdoms. All it actually says in the scripture is that they were wise men. And it doesn't say there were three of them either. There could have been two or 25. We don't know. All we know is that they brought three gifts. So we tend to think of each one carrying a gift. And that's how we got to three. The only adjective used to describe these men is the word wise. And that's what I want to look at. What made them wise, and how can we be like them? First of all, these wise men were listening to their lives. They were not so busy or so consumed with the mundane aspects of their life as to not listen. They were looking at the stars. They were paying attention to what was going on politically and culturally around them. They knew who the Jews were. They knew about a Messiah. These guys were awake. They were paying attention to the language of their lives. And if you want to be wise, I think that's the first step. Wisdom is not so much possessing knowledge as being able to listen. Because God will speak to you through the very language of your life. But if you are not watching everything, keeping your eyes and ears open, you will miss what God is saying to you. So the first step that the wise men took before they even moved at all was simply listening. Being aware. In fact, I think the most profound form of prayer is not when we talk to God, but when we listen to God and become open to what God may be doing in our lives. The second thing that the wise men did that was wise is very simple, but very difficult to do. They were willing to get up and move. The wise men were not men who said, "I'm going to retire and stay right here." They were open to the possibility that God might actually ask them to get up, to move, to change. They knew that in order to be wise, they had to be adaptable. They had to change. They had to move. And third, and I think this is important particularly for the men here, the wise men asked for directions. Are you guys like my husband? When we go to a new city, we will drive all over the place and he refuses, adamantly refuses to ask for directions. We will get in fights in the car because I'll be saying, "Why don't we ask the people who live here?" But there's something about trying to do it himself. But the wise men, the first question they ask, if you look at the text, is, "Where is the child?" They were literally walking around Jerusalem asking people where he was. They asked everybody. You need to ask for directions if you're going to be wise. And I'm not just talking about when you're driving. I'm talking about in life. None of us can make the decisions of our lives alone. We don't have enough perspective from behind our own eyeballs. If you want to thrive and succeed in life, ask for help. If you're interested in a certain field, find people who thrive in that field and ask them how they do it. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But somehow, I don't know why, particularly Americans tend to think that if we're really smart, we won't ever ask questions. That's a myth. The wise ask questions. They ask for direction. They ask for help. Ask how you're doing, how you performed, how you come across, whether you're doing okay. Ask for help. The wise men also, when they traveled, they didn't travel alone. Now, we may not be sure there were three. Maybe there were two. Maybe 5, 10, 20. Who knows? But we do know that they didn't go at it alone. To be wise, means to travel with people. Find people you trust and love to walk this journey of life with you. People that you can lean on. You know, when you think about it, the wise men, if they were following a star, they had to go at night. It was dark. They needed each other for safety, if for anything else. And we need each other. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he didn't send them with much stuff. He told them not to bring a lot of extra stuff, but he did tell them to go two by two. He didn't send them out alone. You are not alone. So don't isolate yourself. Find partners in life who you love and trust, who can travel with you along the road. You know, scholars believe that the wise men probably arrived not at the manger, but it actually says in Matthew that they arrived at the home. The word is oikos, home or house of Mary and Joseph, which means it was later. Mary and Joseph had gotten a place. Scholars tend to think they might have arrived when Jesus was about 2 years old, because if they walked from the east, don't you love in the Bible, they were so specific, somewhere that way. But if they came from India or China or somewhere, and they took off when the star rose at Jesus' birth, well, it would have taken a year or two just to get there if you're walking, right? So I've always imagined that it was the toddler Jesus that greeted them, and maybe he threw the frankincense across the room or something. You know how toddlers do. I'm amazed, too, by how God speaks to this cathedral. In August, I asked the bishop if we could read through the Old Testament this year as part of our lectionary. So every Sunday, we're reading chronologically through the Old Testament. And today, our passage is directly related to the wise men. Today, we hear about a king who was not wise. In the reading from 1 Samuel, we hear about King Saul. Saul was almost the antithesis of the wise men. He becomes king, he likes being king, but he doesn't listen to God. He's careless, he doesn't listen, and he disobeys. And his life tragically unravels right in front of our eyes. Saul begins to listen not to God, but to fear and insecurity. And fear and insecurity are not of God. They come in and cloud our vision. Please don't make the decisions of your life based on fear or insecurity, or anger or resentment for that matter. It doesn't work. Once Saul becomes unwise, he becomes more and more unwise. He gets paranoid. And when God calls David to be the king, instead of Saul saying, "Okay, let me give my crown to David," Saul follows his paranoia and he starts hunting down his son-in-law David, trying to kill him. And in the reading that we heard from 1 Samuel, David is hidden in a cave. And Saul actually walks into the cave after hunting David for a long, long time, trying to kill him. Saul walks into this cave to go to the bathroom, not knowing that David and some of his men are in the cave, in the depths of the cave. So there's Saul, naked and, you know, making a fool of himself. And David has every opportunity to kill him. But David doesn't do that. David never wanted to kill him. David is wise and is listening to God. So he cuts off the corner of Saul's robe. And Saul leaves the cave. And then David walks out of the cave and says, "Saul, look what I have." And then David says, "What are you doing, my father?" Why are you trying to kill me? I do not wish you harm. And then David says, what are you chasing? A dead dog? A single flea? Saul was chasing after nothing. He was chasing an enemy that did not exist. Which is what happens to us when we follow our fears or our insecurities. We chase after nothing. And we waste our lives away. And it is not wise. When the wise men finally reach the home of the baby Jesus or the toddler Jesus, they do the most wise thing of all. Unlike most of the people who later will come to Jesus saying, heal me, fix this, do that, make food, change this. The wise men, when they get to Jesus, they don't ask for anything at all. Instead, they give God gifts. That is the ultimate form of wisdom. Not to be asking God for what we want all the time, but to actually say, what can I offer you in thanksgiving for my life? Now that is wise. And do you know, those wise men were so awake and aware that they were willing to go home another way. They were flexible. They were listening. And when they saw Jesus before they left, the gospel says very clearly that they had an experience of God. And Matthew describes it in this way. He says that they were overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with joy. That is the fruit of true wisdom. Overwhelming joy. It doesn't mean that the wise men led easy lives. I don't think so. I think it was very hard to do what they did. And scary, and they must have wondered whether they were on the right track. So I'm not saying that they didn't suffer, that their lives were perfect in any way, but they did find overwhelming joy. And I don't know about you, but I would like some of that. So 2014. Are you going to be wise? Will you be able to listen to your life and to get up and move if God asks that of you? Are you willing to ask for help and for directions? Are you willing to confide in others, in friends and loved ones? And are you willing to give to God? What do you think? 2014. Are you going to be wise? Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We offer ourselves with all our hopes and fears and dreams and sorrows to Jesus, who has come and is here and will come again. In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live and those who have died, we remember especially Mary Harden Heron and Nita Edrington. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted. I ask you to speak their names aloud.
David. Nancy. Carol. Helen.
Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God. We give thanks for the remarriage of Haley Zeller and Tim Teller. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Father in heaven, in this new year, help us learn to be wise, to listen to you and follow you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're here with us today at the cathedral. Welcome to all of you. And Happy New Year. We return to our Wednesday schedule, wonderful Wednesdays in which we offer dinner and classes for all ages on Wednesday night. I will be starting a new Basic A class, or I like to call it the Cathedral Course, which starts at 6:30. I would love to invite all of you who want to learn more about why we do the funny things we do in worship and what we think about the Bible and all these great things. I welcome you to join me at 6:30 this Wednesday night. It's a great chance for me also to get to know newer members or members who are renewing their faith. So please join me if you want to do that on Wednesday evenings. Next Sunday, we will be baptizing and remembering the baptism of our Lord, and we will be then in the season of Epiphany. Today is actually the 11th day of Christmas. Tomorrow is the actual day those wise men arrive, but we're celebrating it today. So Merry Christmas for the last time. Father Aaron and I want to invite you to what is called a weave gathering. This is for people who have been to Curcio or Happening or Discovery Weekend. All of these are wonderful retreats which enable you to grow closer to God, but also deeper into community. It's also for people who are interested in perhaps one day going to one of these events. So you all are invited next Sunday at 5:00 if you're interested in talking more about those retreats. Pledge envelopes are available for those of you who have pledged to the cathedral for 2014. They're available in the cloister out this way. You should find them with your name on them. And if you don't see your name, please let the office know so we can make sure you have envelopes. And next week we will be joined by our new seminarian or intern. Her name is Ashley Petty. She is from the Diocese of Kansas and will be going to seminary in September. She's graduated from college and will be with us for 6 months full-time to fill in the gap between when Father Perry left and someone hopefully will come, and also to help us because our wonderful Liesl over there is looking very pregnant, as you can tell, and she's going to need to have some time off. So please join me in welcoming Ashley next Sunday. We'll have her vested in a robe and walking around. I actually had the honor and privilege of baptizing her when she was 11 years old, so I'm very proud to have her coming back and training with us to become a priest. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed," and I would also say, "It is wise, more blessed to give, or more wise to give than to receive."
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and have their being.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. By water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit Your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Now please join me in giving thanks with the post-communion prayer, which is found in the final page of your bulletin. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May you be wise, and in your wisdom find Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always.